الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ويل لكل همزة لمزة الذي جمع مالا وعدده يحسب أن ماله أخلده وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من طلب الدنيا حلالا تعطف من طلب دنيا حلالا استعفافا عن المسألة وسعيا على أهله وتعطفا على جاره لقي الله تعالى يوم القيامة ووجهه مثل البدر ليلة القمر أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم Respected and honorable ulama, elders and brothers, undoubtedly this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a deen of moderation. And this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, not only by words, it is not only a message that is contained in the words of the Quran, but the very location of the ayat in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it is also a message. If you look through the Quran, we will understand that the longest surah of the Quran is Surah Al-Baqarah. And we will also understand that this surah has many virtues. Ibn Arabi, one of the leading commentators of the Quran Kareem, has stated that this surah has no less than 1,000 commands of Allah, 1,000 prohibitions of Allah, 1,000 wisdoms which Allah has revealed in the surah, and Allah has pointed out to 1,000 incidents that had taken place in the past before the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The surah contains 286 verses or ayat, and exactly at half, 143, ayat number 143, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention, وَكَذَٰلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا, that similarly, we have made you a nation, an ummah of due moderation, a balance and a just ummah. When we look at this ayah of the Quran, and we understand the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, خير الأمور أوساطها, that the best of affairs are those affairs which are carried out with moderation, then respected and dear friends, we will embark to try and understand an issue as far as the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned with regard to wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants an individual as a ni'mat, and together with that, the other aspects of the ni'mats like posts, status, honor and dignity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants an individual. We will not dwell on attaining wealth, earning a living in Islam, but if we look at the ayats of the Quran and we look at the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are convinced that to accumulate wealth, to acquire wealth, to earn wealth is permissible in this deen of Islam. But together with this, wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about wealth in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by and large addresses this ummah as far as its attitude is concerned towards wealth. We have understood that our salvation of deen lies in our iman and our a'mal. But as an ummah, we have not understood that attitude of a mu'min and a believer is also a priority in the life of a mu'min. If you go straight to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Imam Bayhaqi rahmatullah alayhi has narrated, man talaba dunya halalan, that person who has sought the dunya In other words, the material things of this dunya, that which is halal. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gives various reasons. One is isti'afafan anil mas'ala. The very first reason that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam states is that his primary concern is that I would not want to ask anyone else, in trying to keep away from stretching one's hands. Secondly, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, wasa'yan ala ahlihi. The second intention of that individual is to earn, to endeavor to support and maintain his family. وَتَعَطُّفًا عَلَىٰ جَارِهِ And to do good to his neighbors, in other words, the rest of mankind. What will be the reward of this individual and his status in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, لَقِيَ اللَّهَ تَعَالَىٰ This person will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. وَوَجُهُ مِثْلُ الْقَمَرِ His face will be like the moon, Laylatul Badr, on the 14th night. And we will understand that it is the kalima tayyiba that will grant a person a shining face. But here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has likened that person who works, who earns halal. And the second part of the hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Man talaba halalan mukathiran, mufakhiran, mura'iyan. That person who searches for this dunya, and again Nabi alayhi salam says halal. The mode of income also is halal. The way he attains it is halal. The wealth that he searches for is halal. There is absolutely no prohibition as far as the Shariat is concerned. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says his intention. The attitude with which he does it. Mukathiran. He does it to accumulate wealth. He does it to boast and show out his wealth. Mura'iyan, he does it to show others. Then laqiya Allah ta'ala, he will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of qiyamah, wa huwa alayhi ghadban, or kama qal, whilst Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displeased and Allah's wrath is upon this person. So from this hadith, the great commentator of the hadith, Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah alayhi, has stated that this hadith does not discuss any aspect of the acquisition of wealth. It does not discuss the way or the mode in which the person conducts himself. But it discusses the attitude that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displeased about. If you look in the Quran, we will find on many ayats of the Quran, Allah Rabbul Izzat has called wealth khair. Kutiba alaykum idha hadara ahadakum al-mawtu in taraka khaira. Allah says, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا يُنْفِقُونَ Whatever you, they ask you regarding your spending, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is explicitly commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قُلْ مَا أَنْفَقْتُمْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ Whatever you spend from khair, from good, and that is your wealth. So on the one hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has called wealth a form of khair and a form of good. But on the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has warned us about attitude that an individual has. We are exhorted in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to recite Surah Al-Kahf on a Friday. And the great Mawlana Sulaiman Nadwi rahmatullah alayhi has gone into great detail as far as the various surahs or ayats Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to read and its relationship to the virtue. Like in Surah Al-Kahf, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has informed us that it fortifies a person from the fitna of Dajjal. It fortifies a person from the fitnas to come at a later time. But at the very initial stages of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the issue of wealth. Inna ja'alna ma 'ala al-ardi zinatan laha linabluwahum ayyuhum ahsanu 'amala. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decorate? Why did Allah Rabbul Izzat adorn this earth, the planet, with wealth? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala adorn it with the natural resources from which man will extract and man will make a living? Allah says, so that we may be able to test who brings the best a'mal. A sahabi of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam hears this ayat and he asks Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and usually when we look at a'mal, we construed a'mal to be physical actions. We construed a'mal to be something in the form of bodily actions by way of our salat or by way of our dhikr, adhkar, tilawat of the Quran, etc. But Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he was asked, who is the best and who brings the best a'mal, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam responded, Ayyukum ahsanu aqla. That person who comes with a sound mind, that person that brings the best mind, and commentators has referred to this as an attitude of an individual. That the wealth that Allah has placed on this earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not only judge us by our a'mal, our physical a'mal. Allah does not only judge us by the spending. Allah does not only judge us by the rozas and the fasting that we will keep, or the tawafs of Baytullah. But together with that, Allah judges an individual by the attitude. And in the same surah Kahf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals a thought-provoking incident. And again, if we wish to save ourselves from the fitnas of the latter era, if we wish to save ourselves from the fitna of Dajjal and all the issues that pertain to Dajjal, then undoubtedly we need to draw lessons from the surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ أَحَدُهُمَا أَبْكَمُ لَا يَقْدِرُ عَلَى شَيْءٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah has given the example of a person, that of two people, Rajulaini, of two men, and amongst them Allah has given one person all the wealth that an individual will require. It comes in the kitabs of tafsir in Kamalain. It has been stated that Allah has made reference here to two people who had inherited from a father. The father had left 8,000 gold coins, and the two sons shared that 8,000 gold coins equally, 4,000 apiece. The one son who was pious and fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the other who had total disregard for Allah Rabbul Izzat. The one that had total disregard for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he spent 1,000 of that 4,000 that he inherited in purchasing a piece of land. And on that land, of course, he cultivated. And as he had done so, the other son takes out 1,000 gold coins and he spends it in the path of Allah. And after he spends it in the path of Allah, he says, O Allah, I have spent this, and with this I hope to purchase a land in Jannat. The other brother, the person who did not have regard for the laws and the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person goes on and he spends another 1,000 gold coins purchasing a house and constructing and building it. The brother, the mu'min and the believing brother, the sincere brother, he also spends in the path of Allah, and again he spends 1,000 and he says to Allah and makes dua, O Allah, I have spent this wealth in your path, O Allah, I supplicate you that in return for this 1,000, you build for me a house in Jannat. And then again the first brother, he continues his life, a very, very prosperous life Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about. And this brother then, he now intends to marry, and he spends 1,000 gold coins on his marriage, either the mahr or whatever was required to purchase for marry. The other brother again spends 1,000, and he again makes dua to Allah, O Allah, I am spending this 1,000, O Allah, you bond me to a woman of Jannah, to a whore of Jannah. And now comes the last, that this brother, as his business prospers, as his gardens begin to prosper, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in lengthily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about it, that in every aspect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted him prosperity, he spends the last 1,000 of the inherited funds, of the inherited wealth, he spends it on goods of this material world, and the other brother spends the last 1,000 for the sake and the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he says, O Allah, I am spending this wealth solely so that I may earn the ni'mats of Jannat. The two brothers meet after a while, and the one that was prosperous, the one who had no regard for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, begins to address the other one. Allah says, وَدَخَلَ جَنَّتَهُ وَهُوَ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِ. Allah himself says that the wealthier brother began to address the brother that had absolutely nothing now, but at the same time he had oppressed himself. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not like. Up to the time that he had got the monies, the wealth, up to the time that he had spent, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not decree any adab upon this person. But when, at that particular time, That attitude of this individual changed. When he had seen those ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he began to tell his brother, أَنَا أَكْثَرُ مِنْكَ مَالًا وَأَعَزُّ نَفَرًا. O my brother, I have far more wealth than you, and I am a more honorable person than you. At that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed that Allah's azab will descend upon this person. Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, in one of his mawa'id, he explains the incident of a king whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given abundant wealth. And the wealth was not wealth that will be just kept in a safe, but it required an entire house, a storehouse, a treasure house, in which he had abundant wealth. One night he gets up from his deep sleep, and in that after, as he gets up, the thought comes to him that I have worked and I have earned and I have got so much of wealth. Again, the attitude that leave myself, my children, my grandchildren and their offspring do not have to work. Maulana Yusuf Sahib rahmatullah alayhi says, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not like. The person gets up in the dead of night, he goes into the treasure house, he leaves the treasure house open and he begins to look at the wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses this in the Quran. وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ أَلَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالًا وَعَدَّدًا. Allah says that person who has gathered wealth, وَعَدَّدًا, and he continuously counts his wealth. And he counts his wealth with that fakhr, with that pride, that how much will be for me, my children, my grandchildren and my offspring. At that time, his treasurer comes past the treasure house, he sees the door open and he closes the door. When morning falls, people begin to look for the king, and nobody knows his whereabouts. He had left in the darkness of night. No one was informed where he was. The order is given and people look around for the king in the entire kingdom. No sign of the king. This man is in his own treasure house. He now suffocates and he dies. Maulana Yusuf Sahib rahmatullah alayhi says, that wealth which Allah had given him, that became a source of his haughty attitude, his boasting, his arrogance, and of course his attitude towards that wealth, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not like, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala destroyed him. Regarding this person in the Bani Israel also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَوْحِيْتَ بِثَمَرِهِ فَأَصْبَحَ يُقَلِّبُ كَفَّيْهِ عَلَى مَا أَنْفَقَ فِيهَا وَهِيَ خَاوِيَةٌ عَلَى عُرُوشِهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the end of it all, that when the azab of Allah had come, and the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had destroyed the entire gardens of this individual, at that time he began to turn his hands in total regret, and at that time he began to regret that why did I inject so much of money into this material world. هُنَالِكَ الْوَلَايَةُ لِلَّهِ الْحَقِّ. At that time the reality had come. At one time before that he said, مَا أَظُنُّ. I did not think that a qiyamah will come. I did not think there will be something like qiyamah. I had always thought that wealth will keep me alive for the rest of my life. But now he realizes that the walayat, the guardianship and the ownership belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Respected and dear friends, in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a person by the name of Tha'laba ibn Hatib. Tha'laba ibn Hatib, it has been narrated, was a very sincere sahabi of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On one occasion in Madina Tayyiba, he comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asks the Nabi of Allah to make dua. Oh Nabi, make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives me wealth. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his obligation to his ummah and to his nubuwat, he said to Tha'laba, O Tha'laba, you have the choice. Either I make dua and Allah will answer that dua, and you will become so rich that you will also not understand that wealth. And on the other hand, you have the choice of following your Nabi. That these hills and mountains of Medina had been offered to me in the form of gold and silver, and I denied that option from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tha'laba said, no, Nabi of Allah, make dua, Allah gives me wealth. When Allah gives me wealth, I will spend that wealth in the path of Allah and I will fulfill His uquq. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ عَاهَدَ اللَّهِ لَئِنْ آتَانَا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ لَنَصَّدَّقَنَّ وَلَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ فَلَمَّا آتَاهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ بَخِلُوا بِهِ وَتَوَلَّوا وَهُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ. He made this promise to Nabi alayhi salam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lifts his hands and he makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The result of this dua was that Tha'laba, in our terms, was a livestock farmer in Medina Munawwara. He had a little flock that was that could fit in Medina Munawwara amongst the dwellers and the people of Medina. But slowly that flock began to increase. Thalaba realized that I require, like we say, huger and larger premises. He leaves now the boundaries of Medina. He goes a little bit on the outskirts of Medina. And the result was that initially when Thalaba was able to perform his 5 times salah behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how fortunate was Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Not only Masjid al-Nabawi, but behind the Nabi of Allah, now Tha'alaba gets the opportunity of only performing Zuhar and Asr. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him more wealth. And that wealth begins to grow, and like normal and usual, it is a larger premises that we will require, that area could not hold his flock, and he leaves now the outskirts and the boundaries of Medina, a little bit wayward out of Medina into the farming areas, and now Thalaba was only able to come to Medina Tayyiba for Jumu'ah. In that period of time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayats of zakah. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam had always made inquiries about Thalaba, and his friends had always informed Nabi alayhi salatu was salam as to how prosperous Thalaba was. Nabi alayhi salatu was salam sends the amilin, those who are in charge of collecting zakat, the collectors. They go to others and they come to Thalaba. When Thalaba hears the order of zakat, he says to them, this is a tax, it is not the command of Allah. And wa na'udhu billah, he refused to pay the zakat. Brothers, at this stage also we need to introspect that how many obligations of deen is upon us and our wealth. Do we fulfill these obligations? Do we misconstrue them? Are we looking for loopholes as far as spending in the path of Allah is concerned, or as far as the other obligations of deen is concerned? These collectors go and they go back to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. When they go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they inform Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam about Tha'alaba's condition. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Ya wayha Thalaba, how regretful is the situation of Thalaba. Nonetheless, on another occasion, again the collectors go to Thalaba, and again, when they go to him and they ask him for the zakat, Thalaba asked them to see the decree and the order of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then, even then, he shows reluctance and he does not spend in the path of Allah. At that time when the collectors come back to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and they inform Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, again it is the attitude. The attitude of Thalaba. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam again exclaims that how regretful is the situation of Thalaba. A few of his friends hears this and they go back out of Medina to Thalaba to inform him that the Nabi of Allah is expressing sorrow, he is expressing regret about your condition, O Thalaba. Now Thalaba comes to Medina Tayyiba and now he offers his zakat to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes down that, O Nabi of Allah, do not accept his zakat. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, O Thalaba, I have been commanded by Allah that I do not accept your zakat. Respected and dear friends, we may have an objection here that perhaps the person made tawbah, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his knowledge had known that there was no tawbah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the nifaq of Thalaba in the Quran, the hypocrisy. Thalaba returns. In one riwayat it is stated that in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he picked up the soil of Medina and he began to pour it over his head with total regret, with total sorrow. He goes back. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam leaves this world. He comes in the time of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, who says to him, O Thalaba, that zakah which the Nabi of Allah did not accept, I cannot accept. In the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he returns. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, O Thalaba, that zakah which Nabi alayhi salam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu did not accept, I cannot accept. The same in the time of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, and eventually Thalaba leaves this world in the time of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an. Respected and dear friends, there is much that one would want to say at this particular time, but if you look at two ayats of the Quran Kareem contrasting, one is the wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given to Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam. He understood this wealth and he said, liyabluwani ashkuru am akfur. This wealth, this power, this honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me is because Allah wants to test me whether I will be grateful to Allah or ungrateful. But Qarun, When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him wealth, he said, إِنَّمَا أُوْتِيْتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ. This wealth Allah did not give me. It has been given to me because of my astuity. It has been given to me because of my ability. You know, we say I worked hard for that wealth, respected and dear friends. Those are the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love. In conclusion, let us understand once again that as far as wealth is concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had bestowed it to Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam. Allah bestowed it upon Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala an. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha is an example. Muhammad ibn Munkadir, he is a tabi'i. He comes to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha and he says, "Oh my mother, I am in need." At that particular time, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha has absolutely nothing with her. She says to Muhammad ibn Munkadir that at this particular time I have nothing. And then she says to herself as Muhammad moves away, absolutely no other person but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And she says to herself that if I had 10,000 dirhams, if I had 10,000 coins, undoubtedly I would have given it to Muhammad ibn Munkadir. She walks away and at that particular time a sahabi sends a hadiyah, a gift to Ummul Mu'mineen, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, of 10,000 dirhams. She looks at this wealth, she smiles and she says, it looks like my Allah has put my words to test. That is my mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, brothers. She calls for Muhammad ibn Munkadir and she then disposes of the 10,000 dirhams. My respected and dear friends, this was the attitude of Sahaba, those who were close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that they had understood the reality of wealth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not test us through these very many ni'mas that Allah has given us. And may Allah make our wealth a means of our najat and emancipation in the dunya and the akhirat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.